The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast. I am your host, Raider Greg, and I'm a little flipped out on this last game. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of positives about the last two games. But this game really brought it home for me. So we're going to hit on that and more here on show 626. All right, Raider Nation, on today's show, we will have the postgame for the fish. Yeah, we were going to squish those fish. They gave us every chance, and we gave them the game. Unbelievable. We're going to go also against our next opponent, which will be no cakewalk, the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, who just lost to the Eagles. They need to get back on track. Well, what better way to do it than against the Las Vegas Raiders? We'll hit on that as well. Bone line should wrap it up. It's Thanksgiving week, folks. We got to be thankful. Well, Randy, there's got to be a song for the Dolphins. And I can't be Flipper, or maybe it is.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins.
You know, I didn't anticipate a lot from us during this game. Matter of fact, Vegas had us 2 touchdown dogs to the Dolphins. Yet, I think that most Raider fans thought, hey, man, we got a chance. We're playing pretty good football. Miami's not going to be cold. Might be a little rainy, but at the most, should be a game we could possibly win. Our defense was playing pretty good. Wound up pretty tight, ready to go. And, honestly, I expected us to do pretty well. And we really did pretty well. But the Dolphins did not win this game. Trust me, they had a chance. They tried. I mean, they really did their best to win. But we did our best to hand them the game. I am furious. And, you know what? Let's listen to JT the Brick on his podcast, because he kind of explains a lot of what I'm talking about here.
I am really upset about that loss. That is a game that the Raiders should have won by 10 points. The Raiders were good enough to win and beat the Dolphins on the road when Miami doesn't lose at home. They were the better team, I believe. I think they outplayed them. Travel wasn't an issue, cardio wasn't an issue, and the Raiders literally got every break, almost every break. I'm not talking about that pass behind the line of scrimmage. That was an embarrassing play. Could the Raiders have picked it up and taken it to the house? I get that. We can talk about that. The game wasn't won or lost on that play. The Raiders lost that game. Miami did not win that game. And the Raiders had all the momentum. You will not see Miami at home. At Hard Rock Stadium, give a team an opportunity to win a game the way they gave the Las Vegas Raiders the opportunity to shock the world. So I'm really upset about that loss. That loss was so troublesome because the Raiders had everything going right to win the game, and they found a way to lose it. That wasn't Miami coming back and finding a way to win. That was the Raiders having the game and handing it back to the Miami Dolphins. And that's unacceptable at every level.
Yeah, well, our defense kept us in this game to the last drive.
I thought this Raiders fourth quarter stop was showing me that they could win the game. They were on the same page. They were swarming to the football.
Tagovailoa is out of the gun. He's got Mostert to his right. Two receivers left. Down to 5 on the play clock. Snap. Throwing. Out to the side. Tyreek Hill has it. And he's wrapped up and brought down. Nate Hobbs went to his ankles, waited for Max Crosby to finish him off, and it's a fourth down stop for the Raiders.
Tremendous play. Absolute tremendous play. And I think everyone in Raider Nation, everyone, or 99% of Raider Nation said, we're going to win this game. I mean, they're doing everything right. Dolphins are fumbling the ball. Dolphins are getting field goals instead of touchdowns. What more could you want? What more could you want than the flow of that game, which was flowing towards the Las Vegas Raiders in this game? I love the fact that they were forcing fumbles. They were swarming to the ball.
We had a chance to at least tie this game. And, you know, I know we have a rookie coach, which made some big-time rookie coach mistakes, A. Our quarterback, absolutely unprepared, not ready for this kind of game, not even close. Our offensive coordinator, way too conservative.
I am still amazed that this offense, everyone on this offense, cannot get consistent and come to the rescue and win football games. I'm shocked. I just can't believe it. I am beyond shocked that from Jimmy Garoppolo, Josh McDaniels, now to Bo Hardegrave and Aiden O'Connell, that the offense still is 29th in the sport on third down conversions. And a lot of it's bad luck. We just can't get a first down. It's always third and one. I mean, how many times are you pulling your hair out going, hey, is that a first down? No, they're short. It'll be third and one. Then we line up the running back 6 yards deep, 6 yards deep. By the time he gets the ball, he's 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and someone's right in the backfield tackling him, and it's fourth down. I don't understand how the Raiders can't run a 4 yard crossing route to Hunter Renfro and Michael Mayer all day and just pick up third and one or third and two that way. I don't know. I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know if it's the other defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, who we seem to have owned as of late when he was the head coach of the Denver Broncos. But missed opportunities are the topic of today, and they can't have missed opportunities against Kansas City. You know it. I just said it. You all know this Kansas City team and what's going to have to happen for the Raiders to win.
I mean, if we were going to lose, let's just lose. Let's go for it. But no. You know, fourth, the end of the game, we're trying to run out the clock with 2 minutes and 40 seconds left. That's rookie coach stuff, folks. Going for the field goal instead of going the fourth and one, that's rookie coach. That's rookie coach speak. I am flipped out because we could have won this game if we would have been better prepared on both offense. All the offense, special teams was great. I mean, kept us in the game. Defense definitely playing absolutely out of their mind.
Shotgun snap. Tagovailoa pumps, throws. It's caught by the tight end. Hill at the 30. And the ball's out again. He fumbled the football. The Raiders do have it at the 32. Julian Hill cut upfield. Divine Diablo has the ball in his hands. And the Raiders have their second takeaway of the first half.
But the offense. The offense, like the entire season, inept. I think we got 2 out of 14 third downs.
Hunter Renfro's sighting in the game, which is really important because I'll get to the third down numbers coming up shortly. But Hunter brought a lot of energy and made some plays in this one.
Second down and 6 coming up, and they don't huddle. Shotgun to O'Connell. Looking left. Pointing. Throwing. Has Renfro near midfield. Hobbs the defender 45. On his feet at the 40. And the 30. Cuts across the middle. And finally brought down inside the Dolphins 30 at the 29-yard line. A 38-yard pass. Renfro, all the athleticism on to display. His biggest play of the season.
Can you believe this guy literally doesn't get any targets from the former regime to now, and now he's getting them and he's making plays? The same Hunter Renfro. Get him the ball. Get him the ball, especially on third and short here. Hunter sighted there and played pretty well.
How do you win a game not willing or ready, actually willing to go for it? I mean, what are you going to do? Are Antonio Pierce, are you truly that concerned about just barely winning or just trying to almost win? No, listen, man, you're supposed to be a Raider. That was not Raider football. That was not how the Raiders play. That's not how they played in the past when they won. Certainly not the way you win this game.
We welcome in Antonio Pierce, and Coach, I want to begin with the travel to Miami. I thought you nailed it. It wasn't an issue at all with cardio getting there when you did, and the team showed up big.
Yeah, we did. Started fast, you know, 10-7 lead in the first quarter. Guys were ready. No issues with weather or heat or time. I thought we did a good job just adapting throughout the week. You know, we started our days early. We got on the practice field early. Guys are ready to go, and obviously, you know, we had, you know, three opportunities at the end of the game to either tie it up or win it. And then you look at it, like, if I would have told you in the fourth quarter we had three possessions in plus territory to either tie the game up or whatever we was going to do if we scored a touchdown, either an extra point or a two-point conversion, on the road, hold that team to 6 points in the second half, three turnovers by our defense, special teams do what they've been doing all year. I mean, I don't think many people picked that, right? And I'm proud of us. You know, obviously it's not a moral victory, but it's the way we grinded. The one thing I took from that game, to be honest, is when I went in after the game, I didn't know what to expect, right? Because we had a lot of highs the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking I'm going to have heads down, eyes down, you know. But no, everybody was kind of perky, looking each other in the eye and saying, okay, we just ran out of time. That's how we looked at it. We lost the game, but we ran out of time. Because with that game going overtime, we felt like we were ready to go and keep playing. So, again, a lot of lessons learned, and we'll learn from them and move forward.
The defensive turnovers that you got in that game, stripping balls, I thought the tackling was fast because you knew they had Tyreek Hill and other guys that could get the ball and be gone. I thought everybody just got to the ball quicker than I've seen in the past.
Yeah, we did. And obviously, there was two plays where we didn't. Yeah. What happened? They scored.
Yeah.
and we knew that going in the game. It was going to be roll call on the ball. We needed all 11. And I thought what they really did, and Patrick Graham and the staff defensively did an outstanding job. And we've been doing this all year of working on turnovers, stripping the ball, attacking the ball in the air. And that's exactly what we got. And we've done it now the last three games. Really good job of doing it. And we need to continue to do that this week.
Conservative play calling, conservative play, and the lack of preparation for Aiden O'Connell was obvious. All they had to do was what they did, stop the run.
How was Aiden after the game, the flight back, and then in film study this week? What'd you notice from him?
Well, I think after the game, like all of us, you're disappointed. You know, you wish you could have this play back here or there. But like I told him, it's a 24-hour rule for all of us. You know, we got to move forward. Big game coming up this weekend for us, divisional game, rivalry game. Learn from the lessons. Understanding, you know, we don't need you to be a superhero. We don't need you to be a superhero. You know, there's plays in front of us to all make. And he'll learn that. Listen, that was his third career game starting in the National Football League. To ask his kid to be perfect and thinking everything's going to go right and it's always going to be peaches and cream, that's not fair to him, and that's not due justice to anybody. So he'll get better. He had a great day yesterday. He came in like normal, for one of the first guys in the building, one of the last guys to leave, and back to studying on drawing board.
After the game, Aiden O'Connell took ownership on what happened in the game, the poise under pressure, what he has to improve on.
We're learning how important every possession is and, you know, just how much we have to lock in on every play and can't go backwards and, you know, try to stay ahead of the stick. So I think we, you know, really got to convert better on third down. But before that, got to do a good job of getting to third and short because third down is hard to convert. So, we just got to do a better job staying ahead of the sticks.
Yes, that's the key to the show. I'll get to that momentarily. Third down is a disaster. It is a bleeping absolute nightmare disaster. A matter of fact, I'll get to it right now. One of our crack staff updated it before me for the press conference live show. The Raiders on third down percentage this season, 38.58%, 29th in the NFL. 29th in the NFL at third down. With the talent that they have, they're the worst team in the NFL on third down. Because the teams that are behind them have nowhere near the talent of the Las Vegas Raiders. Nowhere near the talent. The leading rusher, Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Michael Mayer, Hunter Renfro, Trey Tucker, everything. So for the Raiders, that's a really important point that's going to be the brunt of my criticism today that I'm going to get to here, which is all fair and honest criticism, as we want the Raiders to win here and what they are doing on third down, or what they're not doing on third down, which I think will be the premise for a lot of the calls. Antonio Pierce talked about the run game difficulty. This is why the Raiders lost the game.
They did a good job. A lot of movement up front. You know, a little bit of different looks here and there, not much, but you know, just enough to throw us off. And then, you know, we were behind the sticks. We're behind the sticks, and that made it difficult, you know. we'll get back to it. We'll go to the drawing boards and get, you know, got to get JJ going. You know, the first two wins, 25 plus touches, 14, whatever it was, not good enough.
Not good enough. Josh Jacobs, 14 carries, 39 yards. They want to be a running football team. They do. It could be the demise of the season. It could be. I hope it's not. I hope they run the ball for 200 yards against Kansas City. But if you want to be stubborn enough to run the ball with Josh Jacobs where he continues to get hit behind the line of scrimmage, you're going to lose football games. And that's the key to this season is the weak third down efficiency and trying to run the football when they cannot run the football, and it kills the team. That's what happens. I got all the losses right here in front of me, printed them all out. When they try to run the football, they can't run the football for whatever reason. You could say early in the season, Josh wasn't in shape. I thought he was. The holes weren't there. You can blame the offensive line. Colt Miller's not available in the game. That's fair. He's the best player on the offensive line. But that is an issue on top of it. So they tried to run the ball, and they could not run the football. And they lost the game because of that. And Antonio Pierce, on giving themselves a chance at the end of the game, I didn't like the call throwing it into double coverage to the third receiver instead of Devontae, but they took their shot. Here's the interim head coach.
I mean, that's what we talk about every day, pride and poise, passion, respect for the game, you know, playing the game the right way, and guys did. They played hard. They played hard. Does that get you W's? No. But it gives you a chance to win games, and I think that's what we did. We gave ourselves an opportunity to win a game under a minute, plus territory. And again, didn't get, you know, there's no more victories. Guys who look at it, I told them to keep their chins up. And we're going to be the same way, win, lose, or draw. We'll go back to work on Tuesday and get after it.
Yep. I love how accountable he is. He's accountable. He owns it. I thought the biggest criticism from Raider Nation was what were the Raiders doing at the end of the first half when they let the clock run down and they played for a field goal. I thought they should have kicked field goals later in the game, which kind of I thought was the right play. When you throw the ball out of bounds on fourth and one, on a bomb, and you throw it out of bounds. I mean, I could be really critical on that one. But what happened at the end of the first half, and Coach Pierce cleaned it up today, that's the term all the coaches use, he was accountable for that. He wanted to protect the quarterback. He was concerned that Miami was going to get the football with time left at the end of the first half, and they were going to get the ball to start the second half. So that wouldn't have been in a good situation. The Raiders played for a field goal, no debate, at the end of the first half, when they had 40 seconds and they had timeouts, and they should have took a shot. And if they didn't take a shot and they threw an interception or whatever happened, that would be a different debatable topic. But how the Raiders, who were in field goal range at the end of the first half, didn't attack the end zone with a new coaching staff is shocking to me. There's nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose there. You go and you hurry up, you clock the ball, you take shots at the end zone, and then on fourth down, you go kick a field goal, make it. And if you leave a few seconds on the clock, the Raider defense is vastly improved. You can't be that concerned about it.
Now, if we had had Colton Miller, maybe it would have been different. But listen, man, we were in this game. And they were afraid to the last snap of the ball, to the last interception of the ball. Aiden O'Connell is an INT machine. He is worse than Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy G was bad. Aiden is not the answer here. We need a quarterback. And if we don't get a quarterback, this is going to be our football from now on.
Everybody needs to be better if they want to be around here next year. Quarterback, everybody has to be better considering what Champ and Antonio Pierce, if they get the opportunity, will want. Because they'll be different than Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels, obviously. They're different. They're just different in general. So everybody's got to play better. And you got to coach up this quarterback. You got to coach him up to play better and not turn it over and do what he does best. What this kid does best is take a deep shot early, i.e. Devontae's touchdown, and then the ball's got to come out super quick. I mean really fast. And that's a problem, and it shouldn't be a problem because of Michael Mayer and Hunter Renfrow and Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers. Call the right play, the play you run in Henderson. Make it simple for the kid. Maybe move the pocket. He's not a big runner, but maybe move the pocket a little bit and make it easier for a pitch and catch with him.
Now, the offensive coordinator and coach should have really schemed this game up. They should have really tuned this kid up and made sure that he had a chance to win the game. He had some good passes. I mean, good passes are great. He had a great pass to Davante Adams. Touchdown. Great ball. Beautiful pass. But that's not going to win you the game. He threw a bunch of turkeys, trust me. This time of year, I know what a turkey looks like. And they were turkeys. The offense could not get anything going, and their whole philosophy was stop the run, and then you got to have the quarterback beat us, and he ain't going to do it, folks. As wonderful of a story it would be, the fairy tale of Aiden O'Connell coming to the rescue for the Raiders is not going to happen. Not going to happen, ain't going to happen, never going to happen, because he just doesn't have it. He has very poor pocket presence. He doesn't understand timing in the pass. And he just gets happy feet. And I don't understand how to fix that with him, but he's a fourth round pick for a reason. But still, man, I think, gosh, Brady was a sixth round pick. Look what happened. I keep thinking maybe this kid will wake up and one of these games he'll become the superhero from the Super Zero. But I don't see it. First of all, I don't see the coaching staff preparing him for the game. Not at all. I do not see that at all. And conservative play calling is just killing this team. And it will continue. Next game, you know, watch what happens. We sit on the ball and try to work the clock. You know, this is Pierce's way chance to be head coach. Why are you being conservative, man? I'm flipped out. We should have won this game, absolutely, without a doubt. They wanted to give us this game, and we handed it to them every down. 3 for 14 third downs.
I think if the Raiders hold on and win that game, if they win that game, I think they go to the playoffs in the Miami game. I really do. They would have got to 6 wins, and I think there's a path for them to make the playoffs. I really do. And if they would have won that game, I think the Raiders had more than a puncher's chance to get to 10. And they lucked that win right off the beach in South Florida in front of that many Raider fans. And that bothers me. That chaps me.
You make nothing on first, second, and third down and you have to punt? That makes absolutely zero sense for a team with this much talent and this much money. I mean, Mark is paying tons of money for this offense, and it stinks. So don't let me take it away from the defense because they played lights out, every one of them. The defense was on fire. The secondary, the defensive line, I mean, they played awesome game. Our defense, for the first time in a very long time, was ruling the show. Gave our offense 3 turnovers. And what did they do? They 3-and-out, 3-and-out, and 3-and-out, all those. Mark Davis was pissed. You could see him in the owner's box. He was saying some not too happy words because he saw also that we could have won this game. Yeah, I know no one's given us a chance. Who cares? No one ever gave us a chance. No one's going to give us a chance. No one's going to give us anything. Matter of fact, the year we went to the Super Bowl as underdogs, nobody gave us a chance. And guess what? You're doggone right. It's not about what the outside thinks. It's what the inside thinks and does. So, you know, I'm flipped out because we should have won this game. It was stupid the way we lost to Miami, one of the best teams in the league. One, I think the number one offense. We stifled them, man. Our defense was all over them. They got 20 points. They slapped 70 points on the Broncos. This team is crazy.
Here's what gets me more furious. I thought we could win the game in Miami. They easily covered the spread. They didn't do it. If they would have won the game yesterday, the Raiders would have dominated the NFL media landscape. Wow, I just said it. Do you get me on this? If the Raiders win that game, The Raiders are the lead A-block story, with Stephen A., the actor Skip, everybody else is leading with the Raiders today. Raiders, Raiders, Raiders. Unbelievable. 3-0 under AP. And instead, it's all Broncos radio. All national Broncos radio. The frauds who loved the Broncos when they were 1-4 now are on the bandwagon again. And there would have been no Bronco talk. Little bit of talk on how they've won 4 in a row, but the Raiders story would have been bigger than the Broncos beating Joshua Dobbs. Much bigger. Beating Tua and Mike McDaniel in South Florida, and that opportunity is gone. And I was just so aggravated that the Raiders didn't win the game, because I knew what was going to happen when I woke up this morning. It was going to be all Sean Payton, all Broncos radio, and the Broncos are back. And the Broncos now have a better path than the Raiders to get to the playoffs. All happened within 24 hours.
And not only did we keep them from the end zone, but we beat them up, man. We hurt the Dolphins. We put the hurting on. They're feeling it. They're in the ice bath today, I'm telling you. So I love our defense. Good for them. I mean, Patrick, I need a gram. Someone must have given him a gram, because he called a good game. And first one I've seen in a very, very long time that was complete, 100%, all 60 minutes. The players played out of their minds. I think that's where Pierce is good. And the offensive side of the ball is just like, they look like the stepchild. And it's disappointing because, you know, here we are again. I mean, let me just add all of it up. Here we are again in another coachless year with drama. And, you know, I see it on the internet. Everybody wants the coach. Oh, let's. Pierce is the man. Pierce.
Antonio Pierce's Raiders hung in at Miami, finally lost by only 7, 20-13. Michael Irvin, you went to Vegas after our Friday show to spend some time with Antonio, get a feel for what he's trying to build with the Raiders as the interim coach, and we hope he'll be the permanent coach. But scale 1 to 10, how impressive was this Raiders loss at Miami?
I've said a million times here, guys, and you guys have heard me say it. I measure men in distance travel. Don't tell me about where you are. Tell me about where you're starting. I shall measure where you are accordingly. When you start talking about measuring this team, distance travel, remember just a couple weeks ago, this was disaster. It was disaster as you sat there and watched Devontae Adams crying on the sideline and everything. It was horrible. Now, they win two games. I went to spend some time with Antonio Pierce in the Raiders, and I'm going to tell you something, man. They made me feel like one of the guys, you know. When I first got to Devontae, ran up to me, grabbed me, you know, they brought me in. Took me, I hung out with him in the locker room, took me upstairs and let me address the whole football team. Then afterwards, I went in and sat with Antonio Pierce in his office. He's still in his same coaching office, the assistant office. I said, hey, big fella, why we're not in the big room right now? He said, I told him I'm not moving twice. If you move me over there, I'm going to stay over there. I'm not moving back up. So I'm going to just stay until it's permanent. And I was like, that's such a grind mentality. You know what I mean? And he said to me, and I hope I'm not out of turn. He said, man, I said, what do you tell your team? What is it, 14 point favorites key?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yep.
I said, what do you tell your team when you're down 14? He said, I've never said anything about a spread to my team before. But I have to this time.
Yeah.
Because in this change that we're going through, in this change, I have to say to them, and he said to them, this is what people think of you. Now you go show them what you think of you. And I think they did. They showed you what they think of themselves. They showed up and played. Miami averages 38 points a game at home, one of the only teams that are undefeated at home, 5-0, 516 yards at home. At home, they destroy teams at home. They put up a lot of points. They put up a lot of yards. Very rarely does anyone hold them 20 points at home. This is the first game that they've won being held 20 points, period, all year long. So when you start talking about, now, and remember, he is a defensive coach. you say, Coach, what do you have to stop that offense and slow that offense down? He came up and he showed up and he put a game plan together to keep it at 20. Now he has a rookie quarterback who made some plays the last couple weeks, but he tasted his first loss last night. I thought it was an incredible job by Antonio Pierce, by the Raiders going into Miami in a tough place that they've torched everybody else. And they stayed right in that game to the end. They never stopped fighting.
Here's what I would say about this game, though, Skip, and all in all. Michael mentioned it. Antonio Pierce is still in the assistant coach's office, basically a cubicle. Hadn't moved. He's still sitting in one. This is what I would tell Mark Davis. I've seen enough. Skip.
I understand.
I don't need to go and do an interview. I've seen enough. The fact that in these three games, you've won two, you've gone on the road to Miami in a dogfight. You came out of there with a rookie quarterback that threw three interceptions, that made some key mistakes down the stretch. Instead of taking easy money and staying in it methodically, he's trying to hit home runs. He's missing Devontae Adams. I mean, he's doing things that a rookie would do.
Right.
If you had a quarterback that was competent, you win that game.
Sure, defense.
You win the football game. So if I'm Mark Davis, I'm going to talk to the president of the team today. I'm going to talk to the general manager today.
Yep.
And then we're going to get together with Antonio Pierce. And we're going to tell him, it's your team, finish this deal and take us to the promised land. That's what we're going to do.
Beautiful.
There's no need to mess around with it.
No.
Right.
Even if they lost every single game the rest of the year, he started in an unfair advantage to begin with.
He did.
And he's got them playing football. Now, as Michael would say, in closing, what I would say, imagine if that was Josh McDaniels coaching that team against Miami. You think you'd have saw any energy like that at all?
We might have seen 70 is what you might have
you seen. You might have seen 70.
Right.
So,
right.
Mark Davis, be smart and just get it done. No need to waste the... Just get it done.
And don't go through this again.
Pierce isn't the man. Pierce is not the man. If Pierce won every game to the end of the season, yeah, I'd say, okay. Okay, Pierce, you're the man. But Pierce is not the man. I say no, he's not the man. Because he's not winning every game, and he's not winning every game the Raider way. I mean, he's not. He's doing okay. He's got these guys playing as best as they can play. But at some point, coaching comes into it. At some point, you have to be a head coach and be in the X's and O's. And I'm just not seeing that. And all those people are ready to vote him in as the head coach. Well, you know, I guess we could go a couple more seasons of lame football and almost there. And we did our best, but we really couldn't do it kind of thing. And if you're okay with that, I guess. Some people were saying, no, Harbaugh, we want Pierce. Are you crazy? Anybody who wants Pierce over Harbaugh is a lunatic. Harbaugh won every single team he ever went to, and he did it quick. So I don't want to hear any more of this Pierce over Harbaugh nonsense, because if you're saying that, you got to be 12 years old. Because if you've been watching football for long enough, then you should know better. And, I mean, we almost won, man, but it was really frustrating to see us lose. Because we gave them the game. They didn't beat us. No, they did not. They didn't beat us, even though, let's just take a look here real quick. Tua Tagovailoa, 28 of 39, 325 yards, two touchdowns, and of course, one interception. Hill, number 10, 10 receptions for 146 yards and a touchdown. This guy's usually doing two and three touchdowns a game. Waddle, 4 receptions, 55 yards. Also should have got a touchdown. We kept them from doing their thing. We kept them. But look at us. 24 of 41 for O'Connell. You're not going to win games like that. 271 yards, anemic, one TD, and count them, 3 interceptions. The kid, like him, nice guy, turnover machine. And anyone who complained about Carr, you just better keep silent. Now, Josh only had 14 carries, 39 yards. That's not even close to enough. That's a coaching problem. 14 carries. You know, that's conservative football. You put the game in O'Connell's lap, and we got 3 interceptions. He can't run. I mean, he can't run. He's not a running quarterback. Where there were a few times when we could have definitely got the first down. I don't think he's the answer. I mean, quite honestly, don't think he's close to the answer. He'll be a great backup quarterback for some team. Maybe be able to go in there and hold it together for a game or two, maybe. But he's not a first-screen quarterback, and he's not a quarterback for the Raiders, not with this offense. No, we need a real quarterback. And it's not Jimmy G. He's not the answer either. So I don't want to hear any of that garbage because Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to change because there's a new coach. I'm sorry. Plus, Jimmy G gets $90,000 bonus for each game he plays. So if you asked yourself, why isn't he back in? Well, I'm sure Mark had a little bit to do with that. Do not let this guy play another game. He's costing me $90,000 a game, and he's playing horribly. I don't know what the Raiders do from here. I know we got the Chiefs next. We'll talk about that, but this game could have been ours. We played it too safe, too conservative. I don't know what the coaching staff is thinking. You got to put it to the wall, baby. You got to put your pedal to the metal and throw it to the wind. And if you lose, well, at least you tried. But conservative football, at this point in our season, the way things have happened so far this year, is a loser. A loser, loser, loser. The only conservative football I want to see is if we're up by a touchdown and we're running the ball with a minute, 30 seconds left. That's conservative. I'll do that. I'll handle that. But everything else, going for field goals instead of going the 4th-and-3 or 4th-and-1, that's loser football. That's losing the game. That's giving them the game. Here, take it. We don't want to win. Again, I'm going on and on, but I'll tell you, we could have won this game, and that is all I have to say about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
The Kansas City Ring Around the Rosie Chiefs are coming to Allegiant Stadium Sunday, November 26th at 1:25 Pacific Standard Time.
Welcome to the big show.
Come into our house to get better. Let's talk about it. So the first thing I want to say is I hope everyone shows up in their silver and black for this game. The Kansas City Chiefs are wounded dogs. And to watch their press conference after the Eagles literally pummeled them, hurt them, wounded them, was awesome. If you get a chance, you should check it out on their Chiefs Kingdom nonsense, blog or whatever it's called. But it's funny to watch Andy Reid stutter and stammer, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, everyone's, well, you know, we got to do better. We got to do better. For the first time in a long time, without them just talking about how great they are, I think they were just a little humbled in this loss to the Eagles. And they have a short week, so then they got to come to Vegas. I hope we introduce ourselves as we should. You know, the Chiefs haven't scored at all in the second half. Three games in a row. And I think the thing that we can do to win this game is stop the run. Stop the Chiefs run and make Mahomes beat us. That would be my key to the game, is stop the run, make Mahomes throw the ball, and then just do our best to stop that. I know he's good. I know they're good. They're going to be whipped up wanting to come in here and beat up on the Raiders. Well, I think the Raiders' defense can give them a heck of a fight. And I'm telling you, every one of them is in an ice bath right now because they got it taken to them big time. There's a lot of stumbling players out there who have ouchies all over the place. We got to take advantage of it. We have got to fix our defense. You can run on the Chiefs. We got to fix our offense. I mean, we got to run the ball right down the Chiefs' throat and keep running it. Hopefully, Cole Miller will be back. We can beat the Chiefs. I totally believe if there was ever a time we can beat the Chiefs, it's this weekend. You got the holiday. You got a bunch of players beat up and banged up. They on a short week. They have to travel to our house. The fans should fill the place. I don't know what the point spread is. I can't even imagine. It's probably 7 points at least for the Chiefs.
As of November 22nd, 2023, the current point spread for the Kansas City Chiefs versus Las Vegas Raiders game is 9.5 points in favor of the Chiefs.
Man, oh man, I'm telling you, man, if the offense, if this coach and the coaching staff can get a clue and get O'Connell to pass conservatively but correctly and call the right play at the right time, we can win this game.
What do we need to see from Aiden O'Connell? I've seen the good, I've seen the bad, and I've seen the ugly. Okay, I've seen it all. I think I know what his ceiling is, but I'm not sure. His ceiling could be really good. I mean, I think he has a cannon. When he steps into a beautiful ball, you saw that touchdown to Devontae Adams. Did you see the first play of the game? It was scripted. Bill Walsh scripted to Michael Mayer. Perfect throw. Nice gain. But in between, I'm seeing some warning signs. I'm seeing the fact that he holds the ball too long. I'm seeing the fact that he'll give up the ball if he's hit. There's a lot of things that I don't think are conducive to beating Kansas City. And that has to be fixed. And this is just me having opinions. I get paid to have opinions. That the Josh McDaniels playbook should have been thrown out of the building and burned. And he's got a hell of a playbook. Hell of a playbook. It was the Brady, Gronk, Edelman, Welker playbook. It was a great playbook. It didn't work. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't work. For now, Jimmy might play later in the year. So Bo Hardigree is the play caller. He can now take the playbook and shrink it down to a handful of plays that the Raiders need to run often the rest of the season. And they have to run it effectively. Al Davis always wanted to dictate. You don't think the Chiefs and the Broncos and the Chargers knew what the Raiders were running with Plunkett and Stabler? You don't think they knew that Biletnikoff and Branch were wide? Dave Casper was at tight end? Van Egan, Marcus Allen, if it was Bo Jackson with Flores? They knew it was coming. And the playbook was pretty simple with Rich Gannon. It was a very simple playbook. But Gannon was great at getting out of trouble, not being reckless with the football. Rich was really, really smart. And again, I think that Aiden O'Connell falls in that category, not as a mobile quarterback, but he falls in the category of best-case scenario Rich Gannon. Rich was cerebral and super smart. If Rich didn't like a play, he changed it against John Gruden. And Bill, he would yell at Gruden. I was on the sidelines. He would bark at John Gruden, and Gruden would bark back. But you know who won? It was Gannon. He ran the play. He changed the play at the line of scrimmage. Smart guy at the University of Delaware. Aiden O'Connell, smart guy, 6 years at Purdue. So we got to find something that O'Connell can get into that he's good at. Then we can bleep and develop him in the offseason, because if we don't win this game, the offseason's coming January 1st, and you can develop him all the hell you want. So what would you do, Raider Nation, for Aiden O'Connell for one game? Because we got the bye week. Okay, we got the bye week. What would you do for one game to beat Kansas City that has all these flaws? 32nd in the league in second-half offense. Shut out three times in the second half. Their receivers are dropping the ball all over the place. Oh, my God, when have the Raiders had this? When was the last time the Raiders had a Kansas City Chiefs team that had any flaw? I'm talking none. They were clean every time they came in here to Allegiant Stadium. The ring around the posy place, shoving it in our face. Misdirection. You know, Tyreek Hill owning us. Travis Kelce owning us even more. We don't have that problem in this game. They got a bunch of guys who drop the ball every time it's thrown to them. They got guys who make mistakes. Their defense is pretty good. Their defense is good. So this monologue's about Aiden O'Connell, because I am a bit confused on why it is so difficult to run basic plays, 101 basic plays, that are crossing routes, come back to the ball, roll the pocket out, throw a short pass, whatever it is. I'm confused on why that's so difficult. Because when Aiden O'Connell throws a good ball and steps into it, it's like a Nolan Ryan fastball. It comes out, boom. It goes there, boom. It's good. And then we get away from it. Because we want to run the ball. We want to run the ball. We want to run the ball. And the key to this game is, when do the Raiders stay with the run or abandon the run? Because if you think if the run isn't going well and you want to keep using the run, bye-bye, game's over. Andy Reid and Mahomes are going to go, let's get the jetpack. Let's go up 13 on them. They'll never come back because they have Aiden O'Connell, or even if Jimmy G played, and they did that to Derek Carr. Once they go up 13, it's over. So unless you get a miracle, Max gets an interception, Spillane picks up a fumble and goes there. So this is an Aiden O'Connell game. So for all used guys, as we say in Goodfellas, used guys who want to develop them, go develop them. I have no problem with that. But the issue becomes Aiden O'Connell has got to be better in this game. We're not going to win the game in spite of Aiden O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell had three interceptions or two and a strip sack fumble, but they won. No, not against Kansas City, please. We can do that against Miami. You can do that against the Chargers if Brandon Staley's the coach, but you can't do that against Kansas City. So with that rant, I am really excited. I'm all in. If you've been listening to me for 25 minutes or 25 years, you know the games, my job, the games that I really like to fire, and I really get, you know, the blood pressure up, and I really try to engage you. This is it. This is it for me. We better treat this as an all-in, do-or-die game. Now, the good news about this, with this coach compared to the former coach, with this coach, I'm positive that they'll be motivated, their energy will be high, and they will bring all their energy to the game. That's refreshing to know that. I think Josh McDaniels prepared them well. He did. They were prepared every week. It just didn't work out in the game, and he said it was an execution issue, and the players didn't like hearing that anymore. They didn't. But they didn't revolt. They weren't quitting. They weren't throwing helmets in the locker room, but you could tell they were running out of pace, and we didn't know which team was going to show up, i.e. Chicago. Not the problem with Antonio Pierce.
We can beat the Chiefs at home. Talk about an embarrassment. Because if we would have beat the Dolphins last week, everybody would have been talking about the Raiders. Everybody. But no, they weren't talking about the Raiders, because they were talking about the Dolphins and how they were such a stellar team. And I don't think so. I don't think they got the right news story out there in the NFL, because the Raiders put the hurtin' on the fish. They squished the fish. We just didn't end it. We didn't put the fish on the sushi. Because that's what we could have done if we'd had a better game plan, I am sure. We can beat the Chiefs. I have a total confidence that this team, at home, with the crowd, you know, get your tickets, man. Get your tickets and go to this game. It is worthy. We can beat them. We got to give this team some confidence, but we need to fix this offense. We need Colton Miller back. We need to run the ball down the Chiefs' throat and then pass conservatively, get that ball. No more long third and longs. Can't have that anymore. It's got to end this week. Next week, we got to fix that problem, and I mean fix it well. But I know Rander Dan and KC is waiting for this one, and he deserves a W. I think we all do, especially against the Chiefs and their ring around the rosy. I hope we don't see that again. That is a disrespectful thing. And they should put that up on the bulletin board in the room, in the locker room. So they know about the ring around the rosy, disrespect to the Raiders, and all the laughs and jokes that they had to say about our team. That could end this week. We have to make it so. Our coaching staff's got to get it together, man, and put together a good offensive game plan because our defense can't do it. 3 games in a row, Chiefs haven't scored in the second half. We can do that too.
For years here, it's been Tyreek Hill, Mahomes, and Kelce. Now Tyreek's gone, but you just faced him, and you saw all those type of plays. Let's start off with Mahomes, who can do a lot of damage with his legs. And I think containing the edge is really important with him because Max is going to be chasing him around and coming after him. But on the other side, containing the edge so he can, on a 3rd and 13, run for a first down.
Yeah, see, to me, it's not so much the edge. It's the interior push. You know, so those guys in the B-gap, you know, the tackles, everybody being disciplined. We can't get leveraged one side or the other. This is going to be a game like, you know, I won't call him Michael Vick, but when I played against Vick, you know, we called it cage rushing. You didn't go above him, and you kept everything in front of him and try to get your arms up and give him – make the tighter throws even tighter. And obviously he can make all the throws. But, I mean, it's very challenging. It's the reason why, you know, they won 3 Super Bowls and they dominated the division the last 6 or 7 years.
Kelce's been stopped with yards but got touchdowns against us in the past. You were a guy that would put your hands on a tight end. And you could stay with a tight end. And now I'm looking at this team completely different with Spillane and Diablo. Guys who can put their hands on him, run with him, and the discipline of your safeties to come up and do their job.
Yeah, and like everything. We tried it last year with him. You know, we limited him, but in the red zone, it was like, oh boy.
Right.
But you got to put your hands on him. He's so savvy, man. And you really can never be right. Mm-hmm. Because he goes against everything you're going to do. You're high, he's low. You're right, he's left. You know what I mean? So he plays against your leverage, and obviously they have a great chemistry between the quarterback and the tight end. But we got to have all eyes, all hands. We got to be physical with him. We got to understand that it doesn't matter if he's covered or not, the ball's still going to go there. And we just got to play it for 60 minutes.
I know you watched what happened on Monday night where they lost. I looked at Pacheco. He was running possessed in that game. And you just mentioned the interior line. Just to get an arm on him, stop him at the line of scrimmage so everybody can get there because he has a burst if he breaks a tackle.
Yeah, the mad runner is what I call him. I mean, he runs angry. He's violent. He's fast. He's the energizer bunny for their team. When he gets going, it's a whole different animal for the offensive line. They protect better. They're coming off the ball better. I mean, so that's going to be a key element for us, obviously stopping the run, doing a good job. And then really, no different than last week. It's got to be roll call on the ball because you see a lot of that first tackle element, he's making you miss or he's running through you. So it's going to be really critical that our guys on the second and third level do a good job of coming downhill.
Coach, you're sharp with a lot of things. You're very aware of the media, and they've been beating up Kansas City for drops. But what I noticed is those receivers are open. It's not like they're contested. They're dropping some balls when they're open. Yeah. So how do you handle that? Because they are getting open. They do have some drops. We've seen their second half stats. But they can flip that in any game. They're still so dangerous in the passing game.
In a game like this, with two teams that know each other, that dislike one another, all the stats, all that stuff doesn't matter.
Right.
That's all out the window. It doesn't matter. I mean, this is going to be a bloodbath. This is going to be a violent game. We anticipate them coming with their best on a short week. Andy Reid, who I've went against as a player over 20-plus times in my career, always has his teams ready and prepared to go.
That's fascinating to me with all the times you were in film study as a player. and looked at his offense. Has it really changed a lot from McNabb in Philadelphia to what he's doing with Mahomes?
No, he just spread out a little bit more.
Okay.
He was a little bit more West Coast with two backs, flooding the formation, heavy loaded to his right or left side, mm-hmm. you know, purely West Coast. But when you got a guy like Patrick Mahomes, the whole field you got to cover, right? All 53 and 100 and plus yards on the length of the field. It's unique to see, though, because, you know, you think he's a passing guy, right?
Yeah.
But then you look at the stats last week, I mean, they rushed for over 150. You look at him each and every time. When they get the running game going, he wants to be balanced. He sets it up. It's an RPO system. He's adapted to the college game and the NFL as well. And he's adapted to his players and to his quarterback, who does a really good job of understanding what's in front of him.
You have a lot of respect for Coach Spagnuolo. Tell me your history with him and the type of coach he is and the man he is.
Yeah, me and little mad scientist go all the way back to 2007, you know, when he first walked into the building as a Giant. Defensive coordinator, was there for 2 years prior. And then he comes in and he kind of just changes the whole outlook of our team defensively. And he brought that aggressive Jimmy Johnson style from the Eagles to us, heavy pressures, overloaded. But what he did, more importantly for me and our team, I believe, and our defense, was just the belief in us. The connections that he made, not only with myself and Strahan, but, you know, those first two games we had with him, we were a bad defense. Yeah. Over 1,000 yards in total, you know, 80-plus points. We got embarrassed by the Cowboys and the Packers, and he came back in after that third game and says, listen, I believe in you guys. We'll get this right. You know, we're just going to keep fine-tuning and chopping wood, and I'm going to dial back on some things. But just his belief and his ability to gather everybody together, keep everybody together, and talk in such a way where you never felt like he was talking down to you, but more importantly, he was uplifting you. And obviously, it's a man I respect. I've talked to all last week. I can't talk to him. We made an agreement, gentleman's handshake. We won't talk this week, and we won't talk before the game. We'll talk after the game and get a little, you know, little hug there.
Yeah.
But it's a gentleman who's very dear to my heart, and I respect a lot.
One more player as we wrap it up on our side, Hunter Renfrow, the emergence of him again.
Crazy
really
legs.
Important to the fans that he gets going, and he is getting going, coming into arguably, they're all big, but our biggest game of the year at home.
Yeah, no, crazy legs, man. It's just, you watch that run the other day, he's like, you don't know where he's going, you don't know how he's doing what he's doing. It's not very fast, but it's efficient. You know, it's good to see him happy. It's good to see him smiling and loving football again. That's what I'm proud of and excited for him. Because you watched him being here, you know, for 2 years, and just watch his morale and just seeing him kind of – and when he gets going, it kind of uplifts everybody else, which is the damnest thing, you know. But I'm excited that, you know, we're obviously finding ways to get him the ball because he is a special player.
On the football side of the building, that's one thing. A lot of us don't see it, but I was on the other side of the building. Everybody's fired up. The way you're communicating with them, and you understand the entire organization from the top to everybody who works here.
Yeah, bottom up. You know, if you're going to have a winning organization, winning program, a winning building, a winning culture, you need everybody with all hands on deck. And I think that's something that, you know, I've learned throughout my years, both professionally and off the field, doing my own business adventures. That you got to have those kind of – you got to have that mindset. You got to include everybody. At the end of the day, we're all bought into it. You know, we're coming to work happy. I'll get the best out of you, right? And you get the best out of me, and then we'll see where the chips fall.
Finally, the fans. I love the fact that you're embracing them, the call to action. 4-1 at home, 4 in a row, a big one. Getting on top of this rivalry and taking control of this rivalry coming out of Thanksgiving. The message to the fans who are coming in full force.
Well, listen, I saw it last year when Kansas City came in this building, and it was disappointing. Because there was a lot of red in the building.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be that way. So I'm asking Raider Nation, our fan base, our alumni base, everybody come blacked out. That black hole get rocking and rolling. As I always say, you know, you show up and we'll show out.
So I think we can win this game. I have no doubt about it. But it's got to happen on the offensive side. No, Collins got to pull it out. He's got to realize this is his shot. He don't get this shot again ever if he don't get it done in the next couple of games. This for sure, this home game, he better turn it up about 10 notches. And that is all I have to say about that. Bad to the bone. 7755 Raider, that's the number. Get on it. I think you should. I think people should have been upset about this last game. I was furious. So who we got first? And our first caller is the best. The Prez, I love what he's got to say. Listen to the man, because I've been saying it this whole show. What's up, Prez?
Raider Nation, this is the prayers, and you can tell by my tone that I'm not very happy. And technically, we should have won this game. Both the coach and the rook were showing their hands of inexperience. The defense held it down, and we could have had this game. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a realist. I'm guilty of being a realist. I'm not a homer. And I sometimes will say things that might be controversial that people may or may not disagree and disagree with, but I'm going to call a spade this time. The quarterback we have is not ready. He's not ready. We gave him a chance and we squeaked by. Now, I'm going to say this right here. I'm not a big fan of Jimmy G, but we have not yet seen him play up under the regime of our coach. We don't know, was he just following orders like Carr with stupid McDaniels or not. But at some point in time, that quarterback should have been yanked and put in Jimmy G to see what we can get done. You might not agree with me, again, but nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Now, the quarterback rookie, he's trying. Yes, he is, though. I don't get it, man. I mean, this is just a bonehead move. If you try to win, you pull the quarterback and say, hey, Rook, this is nothing personal. I'm going to yank you. Let's see what happens. And we'll probably put you back in so you can think about it or whatever, like old school coaches do. We don't play off instincts and politics and feelings of who we like and what we don't like. What the hell is that, man? That's what – oh, my goodness, man. I mean, wow. Because we could have had this game. Big Bad Miami was not all that. But I digress. And, you know, man, I am so sick of this Raiders shit, man. I mean, wow. I mean, just call it what it is, you know. Another season that just kind of like in question. And if an Antonio Pierce, man, look, dude, you know, I like your rah-rah attitude and stuff, and you good, man. But if that's your way of coaching, dude, you would not be next year. I'm telling you this right now, buddy. Raider Nation, this is the pissed off prayers, man. I'm so sorry for this. Goodbye. Shit.
Yeah, I think that last ending said it all for everybody. Jimmy G makes $90,000 if he plays. I don't care. Mark, dig deep. Get out there. Don't be hamstringing this soon-to-be, possibly, new coach. But I'll tell you what, like he said, I agree 100%, man. This coach, he's a good rah-rah guy, but he better dig into those X's and O's because he's going to be a position coach next year if he doesn't. I totally agree, brother. I agree with everything you said. I feel the same way, man. Thanks for the call, man. And our next caller is Matty Raiders in the house. Man, you sound positive. I like it. I do like it so. What's happening, brother?
Ah, so close, man. So close. Matty Raider, Albany, New York. What's up, guys? Hey. Hats off to the defense in this game. Rookie QB, rookie play caller. We had our chances. We had to be more creative offensively. We could have won that game. We really could have beat Miami and shown everybody what we were made of. But I was proud the way the guys competed. Right now, the way that our season's going, firing our previous coach and rolling on, I mean, I think these guys are really believing in Pierce, and the defense is playing pretty good. So, oh, man, what's just a tough one to watch, man. Tough one to stomach. We could have freaking won that game. But anyway, on to Kansas City, and I'm going to tell you right now, we can beat those guys at home. We can beat those guys at home. So let's go. Let's regroup. Let's get it together. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. God bless. Love all you guys. I'm out.
We could have beat him. We had him on the ropes for sure. A rookie quarterback or not, man, this staff has got to get this kid ready to play. And if he can't play, we got to put Jimmy G in, spend the 90 grand, and see if we can get him to play outside of the McDaniels offense. Because if he's stuck, you know, he's not stuck in that McDaniels, you know, nonsensical demand the quarterback throw the ball here and there. He's not. So maybe he's the answer. But Mark has to spend 90 grand to have it happen. I say let's go. You're going to hamstring this coach. I don't think that's a good way to do it. But, yeah, we had a good chance, brother. Thanks for the call. And we can beat the Chiefs. And our next caller is the Cheesehead Raider in the house. What's going on, Cheese?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, this is the Cheesehead Raider calling from Wisconsin. And we just lost to the Fish. Defense played fantastic, getting turnovers. Offense, not so much. Didn't really like a lot of the decisions that the Rook took in O'Connell. But he's a rookie. And he's got to learn. That's all there is to it. He's got to learn that you don't have to go for the home run all the time. Keep the offense on the field. Does two things, well, three things. Increases your chance to score, clearly. Keeps their defense on the field so they can't get rest, and it gives your defense rest so when they get on the field, they can go, you know, straight at it full bore. Looked like Miami said, all right, Jacobs, you're not beating us, so we're going to have the Rook beat us, and it just stacked up on the line and didn't really give Jacob a lot. He had a couple little runs here and there, but, you know, nothing like he's done the last week or two. We go on the road and play a decent team, not a fantastic, but a decent team. So, you know, last two games at home, we're able to pull those out. So now it's just continue to grow, learn. AP said, we've got things we got to work on. We know what they are. Well, they got some more stuff to work on. So, got the Kansas City Chiefs coming up and then a bye. We're still in the hunt. This is it. Cheesehead Raider. Raider Nation, lose, win, or tie. Raider Nation, till I die.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, bro. I'm putting way more pressure on this coaching staff. O'Connell is a rookie, but they got to make sure he gets it. And 14 carries only for Jacobs? Bro, those third and longs are because we can't run the ball. They got to come out with some more imagination on the playbook and practice it. O'Connell has got to learn how to hit those underneath routes. He's got to do it. And, or he's just going to be another, you know, lifetime backup, if that. Could be the shortest stint in NFL history. But the staff lost this game. Pierce and company. Offensive coordinator, the defense came to play, and they played hard. The offense was lame, and the play calls were really lame. Timeouts, I mean, poor clock management, don't get me started, but he's showing his rookiness as the head coach. He better get it together if he wants that position, and that will be beating the Chiefs at home because they are beatable. Three state games, and they haven't had scored in the second half. They're a wounded duck. We got to take them out. And our next caller is the Prez, number two. I like his first call better, but what's up, brother?
Okay, Raider Nation, this is the Prez. Cooler heads have prevailed. Let's just say next game up, you know, I can't go without congratulating the defense. What a magnificent show they put on. And let's hope that we can go back and look at the drawing board and look at, you know, what we could have done better and be more prepared because we have to, like, chalk it up and move forward, unfortunately. So, yeah, I was very hot and very mad, but at the same time, I had to come to my senses like, hey, man, that's a rookie. Rookie's going to make rookie mistakes. Both the player and coach, and to hold the mighty Dolphins down to basically like we're playing a regular, you know, peon, it's impressive in regards, though, but we want that W. So with that being said, Raider Nation, this is the old Prayers coming back to you to redeem himself, and, you know, hey, me and Raider Greg, we both are very passionate people, and this time I just
I almost went overboard, but I caught myself. Oh, damn Raiders, I tell you that. Gotta love them. Okay, Danny. Thank you very much. Raiders. So says the prayers.
Yeah, you don't gotta apologize, man. Hot heads, cold heads, whatever. We lost. We should have won. We could have been better prepared. I totally think that, no matter what. And you calm down a little bit, but I haven't calmed down, not at all. I'm still a little furiosity with this game, to say the least. I appreciate that, man. Thanks for calling back. And our next caller is Raider Claus in the house. What you got for us, brother?
Hello, Raider Greg, Raider Randy. Hello, Raider Nation. This is Raider Claus checking in Sunday night. That was a tough game, watching that. I don't know. It's no one thought we were going to be in it. It was a lot closer than anyone thought. I think the defense played well, but we're keeping them out there too long. And there were times where the offense, just the play calling, was way too conservative. You know, we're trying to establish a run, but then we're passing the ball and we're having some success there. But then we go back to, you know, just three and outs, running the ball. And then you're expecting the rookie to carry the team. He made some good plays, made some bad plays. But, you know, it's up to the coaches to put him in the best position to win the game. You know, we had the last drive. You know, he missed some throws, some open receivers, the picks. And I can't blame him for the fourth down where he just threw it up. And, you know, that was going to be a turnover anyway with the sack. But the defense really came through. Three turnovers. They're in the game. Everyone's playing well. I like the attitude of the team, but we're just not there yet. But we've got to keep driving. We've got to keep trying. Got to keep working. And, you know, we just have to be more aggressive on offense. It's what are we playing for? You know, we got to win games. So I expect everyone just to step it up. We're going back home against Kansas City. We're going to have to play better if we plan on being in that game. But, you know, it's a division game. We got to win this game. I'll be there. We'll be rooting them on. So, Raider Nation, let's show up. All right. Take care. Go Raiders.
Yeah, I think we're all saying about the same thing, the conservative play calling. I mean, what do you got to lose? You're not going to be a head coach? Of course you're not, because you're not going to win. You have to go out, man. You got to go out big, and you best prepare this young quarterback for some football and figure a way to move that ball on the ground. If not with Jacobs, some kind of trick, something, you better open up that playbook big time, because all your jobs are on the line. I don't get being conservative at all. That's not going to win you nothing. Especially in this league. And we were so close, man. Oh, so close. It made me angry to see the way we lost that game. Our defense played their hearts out. And the offense, the three and out, just was crushing. Crushing to me, I'm sure it was crushing the defense. Thanks for the call, brother. Have a good time. Make sure you make some noise. And you give any Chief fan you see in line, you know what you got to do, brother. And our next caller out of Pleasanton, Raider Collins in the house. What you got for us, my good Raider brother?
Raiders! What's happening, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation? This is Raider Colin, Pleasanton, California. And, you know, calling after the Dolphins game. And I think it's the first time I've called, you know, since McDougal was fired, as Danny McDougal, as you call him, McDaniels. And now we have Antonio Pierce. And I just want to tell you why we should have Josh McDaniels as our head coach. All right?
I couldn't do it. Oh, I had in my head a whole thing I was going to do, but I can't do it, man. Now, thank God that fucking guy is gone. Thank God. I know I shouldn't be happy. We'd have lost against the Dolphins, but, man, you know, played them tough on the road. Had a shot at it. So, you know, and yeah, definitely I'd rather lose with this team than win with that other guy. So, I'll take it. I think the main thing I think about him, I know people thought he was a good offensive mind or smart or whatever, but I remember there's a saying, I forgot where I heard it, but stuck with me, and it's that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you can tell Antonio Pierce cares. Yeah, he's got, passion. And that's the difference, man. That's the number one. That's where it starts. If you don't have a guy that doesn't care deeply and passionately, and Antonio Pierce has a lot of other good qualities. He can communicate it. He has the experience. He gets people. But that's the main thing. That's where it starts, is you got to care. And, few interceptions left. We might have had a bit different outcome, but I'd stick with the kid, Aiden O'Connell. At least we're developing an asset versus the fossil that's sitting on the sideline, and he's plenty good at throwing interceptions himself, so it wouldn't have probably been any better. Man, I'd say we keep on trucking. It was great watching the Chiefs lose last night. So I know they're coming off a loss, but we're also coming off a loss. They're coming to our house. I think we can surprise them, man. It's just not easy. It's not, I'm not expecting it. I wouldn't put money on it, but, hey, man, let's do it. Let's roll. All right. One last fun fact on Antonio Pierce. I just recently was reading about him. He went to, played his college ball where I went to, University of Arizona. So that's my hometown, actually, Tucson. So cool, man.
Oh, come on, man. We don't even want to hear about that guy. I don't even want to think about that guy. I don't want to think what ifs or anything else. I know you probably have something funny, but he is in the rear view, man. I am over him. We are moving forward. And as far as Aiden O'Connell, they better prepare him better or he's going to be out. And I mean, first thing, end of season. He's not even going to be a backup here. They best prepare him. If the coaching staff wants to stay, if they want to get paid, they better do a better job preparing this offense, because defense is blowing things up. This offense is anemic, and that's an understatement. So if they don't get it fixed, I don't see Pierce hanging around at all. I see a whole new staff, and here we go again, Raider Nation, starting all over. Yuck. And last, but far from least, my good brother, Raider Chris from Scranton, PA. He's got some wisdom for us, folks. Listen up.
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, Raider Chris, Scranton, PA. And the two-game win streak has come to an end. But you know what? I'm not even really that upset. We got to keep in mind, we're playing with a fourth-round rookie quarterback who is going to make mistakes. So, were some of his decisions questionable? Of course. Does he need to learn how to use his legs more? Of course. But with a shitty O-line, and I don't want to hear because of Colton Miller being out, that's why it's bad. No. We have a shitty O-line who can't open the holes up for Jacobs to even run through, to not protecting the quarterback. Stuff from Aiden like you just seen is going to happen. So until we figure out the O-line, expect this to happen more. I don't blame it on the bad offensive calling, because I feel like Bo is limited with his rookie quarterback. So I just see this happening more until we figure out that O-line, because it's a sloppy mess. And shout out to our defense. I'm not going to keep bringing that up and saying that every time I call in, because they held Miami to 20 points. Let's not forget, that team put up 70 against Denver. Granted, Denver's not the greatest team either, but that defense held its own. So until we figure out what's going on our offense, this is going to happen more. We have KC coming up in Vegas, and I don't see why we can't win that game if you just make a few adjustments. Take it week by week, because this team isn't bad. It's just got to be repaired, and I'm going to keep it at that. Raider Nation, I love you guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Go spend that time with your families, and just be safe out there. You never know if this is going to be the last Thanksgiving with your families or not, so just make it a great one. Love you guys. I'm out like that fat girl in dodgeball.
Well, I'm not sure about the offensive line. I'm sure it's play calling. I'm sure it's formation. I'm sure there's a lot going on there, but I'm sure it's also the quarterback. You know, he's a rookie, but man, he's had plenty of time to solve the pass interception profile. You know, he's not getting it. And I don't know, he got it in college. Maybe he's not getting it because he doesn't have the right coaching staff. Whatever it is, our offense needs a tune-up. And I mean a real tune-up. And I don't know, man. Maybe Colt Miller will come back. That'll change some things. Let's hope so. Because I know we can beat the Broncos in our house. I'm looking forward to it. I think we can. Our defense is lights out. Our offense got to give them some rest and make some third down conversions, for crying out loud. Appreciate that call, good brother. God bless you and family. Well, that will do it here for this edition of the Raider Nation Podcast. Wait a minute. No, Raider Nation Podcast. Randy gets mad at me when I put the "the" in it because it changes everything. So Raider Nation Podcast wishes each and every fan a blessed, safe, and loving Thanksgiving. Be thankful for all you have. Be thankful for all you give. Be thankful in all ways to you know who. Good Lord above, I'll tell you that every single time. I am Raider Greg, and I am out.